For 145 days, hundreds of African refugees and nationals were occupying the space around the Central Methodist Mission and some of the streets around Green Market Square, really causing not only disruption, I suppose, to business and experiences for people, but potentially causing harm to themselves. They were cooking food in open flames on the sides of the road, which, as you know, are infringement of bylaws in the city of Cape Town. Ablution facilities were very, very limited. And in fact, many a times, men particularly would relieve themselves in the open, which required the CCID staff to come and clean every morning at 5 o'clock. I walked past Berg Street, as I do every day, many a times, having young children being bathed out in the open in basins on the street. It really was not a, no one should live like that. And the situation was untenable. And as you know, ultimately the city of Cape Town got the order from the Western Cape High Court to remove them from that part of town. They've now, majority of them have gone either back to places where they came from within the city of Cape Town, or perhaps to other cities, potentially made their way out of the country. We don't know. But there's still a significant number of them who are sleeping on the pavements around the streets and buildings near the South African Police Station, which is on Bethencourt Street in the city of Cape Town. The city, for First Thursdays, deciding to throw a concert at Green Market Square. I imagine, in part, it was to show to the organizers of the Cape Town International Jazz Festival that this is a space you can return to for your annual free concert, because it's now clean and obviously ready for trade and operation. But a lot of people saw that as a way of cleansing and releasing, I suppose, a space of what was an unfortunate 145 nights of African nationals having to sleep there. It then sparked in me a conversation around what do we need to do in Cape Town to activate public spaces for use by everyone. How do we ensure that those public spaces, in an inclusive way, invites every person either living or visiting the city into the space? The person to answer that question this morning is Rike Sitas, who is a researcher at the African Center for Cities. Rike, very good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
It is a difficult thing to do, isn't it? You have a space that is open. You hope, as a city planner, city manager, whatever the case may be, that Capetonians will go and occupy that space and make use of it. But you almost always have to have interventions in place in that space in order to attract those people, don't you?
Yes, I think a lot of us share the belief that public spaces are important and they should be spaces that are welcoming and accessible to everybody. But designing and providing public spaces doesn't make them immediately good or interesting or fun or safe or any of the things we really hope they will be. And so we also shouldn't be surprised that the power dynamics that play out in society are obviously going to appear in these public spaces. And that means parks, it means pavements, it means beaches and streets. And so we also live in this unequal society where legacies of colonialism and apartheid are still there. Women and girls will experience spaces differently to men and boys. Being LGBTQI in public spaces pose other kinds of risks and vulnerabilities. And then also, if you're elderly abled, you know, you may not be able to experience any of the spaces we're talking about. And so I think we end up with the fact that spaces need to be programmed in some way. And so, when we're looking, turning to what happened in Green Market Square, there is this other agreement that we tend to have that the principle of having public concerts is a lovely idea, and that it is a way of pulling people together into a public space in a moment of enjoyment. But again, who these are organized by and when they can happen and whose interests will obviously also shape how they're received.
Particularly in a space as complex as, once again, Green Market Square, that has its own checkered history, right? People associate a certain memory with that space. It is a space that is primarily a space of business, with the flea market taking up the majority of that space. And of course, we've got restaurants and bars around. So there's a lot of trade and economy that needs to be generated there. But then people like me, who are lucky enough to live in the city center, or people who commute in and out of the city, would want to just be there and hang around and just enjoy being out in the square once in a while, and to try and meet the demands of all those needs from a variety of people is a wonderful challenge.
It is a wonderful challenge. But I think what was highlighted last Thursday is that that when you have a kind of complex society where you have a situation of people who, you know, where the squares become a tragic reminder of the kinds of violence and disposition that people face, you know, that these are families who left their homes in other countries, who then got displaced again and again and again, it leaves a trace of remembering. And so how we activate a space and revitalize a space post this is very important to think through. And I think in this particular context, in that moment, so soon after people were removed, the challenge is that this language of cleaning doesn't only end up being about streets, it's about people that are removed, and it can be read in weird ways. So I think even if we agree that we want more public performances, they're not always intrinsically good things, right? And arts and culture can be divisive. So we have to think really carefully about how we do those things. And as you mentioned, you know, coinciding with First Thursdays, which is a largely kind of elite event because who has access to the city in the evening? And then also, you know, managing the rights to the space. Some people were allowed, some people aren't allowed. So it sends a particular message. So I think It poses some questions about how we practically do and how we have these kind of practical solutions or how we do it. And so we obviously have a lot of examples where like we can learn from, actually from the countries that people have, you know, refugees have left from. But I'm fairly certain that it's about who is making those decisions and whose interest these events are made by. So, for example, I'm fairly certain that the arts and culture branch of the city of Cape Town would probably be better placed to inform events than perhaps a MACO member for safety and security, and that causes tensions. So I think if we're going to turn to possibilities, there are a couple of things to keep in mind. I mean, let's be clear first that culture and arts are not going to dismantle the deep systemic and structural inequalities in societies, and unfortunately, in certain cases, they'll mirror, they'll mask, and at worst, sometimes replicate them. So we have to be cautious of that. And in order to do it, I think we need to firstly think about who is making the decisions about the kinds of programming in public spaces. And sometimes the bigger players may not be the best place to do this, and certainly not those kind of disconnected from the sector. So what is being programmed and by who will shape who feels they belong and whose interests are being met, and this will make or break an event. And this will be, you know, this will create a space where you can feel comfortable in enjoying somewhere like Greenpoint Square as well as other people. So I think we need to also have a broader idea of the audience and participants and who they are. If we think of this idea of revitalizing for foreign tourists, we also hit a snag, right? And a lot of the Green Market Square has been geared towards this idea of foreign tourists to spend money there at the formal businesses and at the informal businesses. But we've seen over and over again that foreign tourists with money aren't going to bolster a sustainable long-term arts and culture sector and are not necessarily going to have a focus for locals. And so I think one of where the successes have been in other cities is thinking through meeting the needs of local residents before aiming for tourist audiences. And tourist audiences will flock to places that are locally vibrant, where people who live in the city are active and having a good time, as you mentioned. And therefore, I think that also another thing linked to that is we need to think of other activities that can be considered. We know that stand-up comedy is popular in Khayelitsha. We know spoken word is popular in Delft. We know that there are fashion design and backyard studios in every neighborhood. But this is not necessarily what we're seeing in public programming. And so finally, linked to this, I think we need to rethink the public resource flows to support arts and culture needs in order to shift this, to make this happen. So places are locally relevant and locally responsive. And unfortunately, this can't be left only to the arts and culture sector because, as we know, resources are limited, particularly in that sector. So I think because public spaces are important for social and for economic and for spatial development, we can also be much more imaginative about how we fund these things through different streams, thinking strategically across sectors, thinking who public partners can be, private partners, and what civic organizations can be involved. Because we know that there are lots of grounded cultural organizations that are very, very connected to the practices that we as residents in our diversity want to see in public spaces.
Let me ask this as a parting question then, Rike. The city of Cape Town ultimately will always be the big player that needs to be part of any and all decision making, partly because they will need to make the resources available to activate whatever programming decisions have been made. How would you advise they proceed? Not discounting anything you've just said, obviously, because I agree with every single element. But if what would be the most sensitive, appropriate, inclusive thing to do moving forward for the city of Cape Town, particularly with Green Market Square?
Well, I think what cities, I mean, there's a limit to what cities can do just because of the budget constraints that you're talking about. And I think it is really about providing an enabling environment. So an enabling environment for local civic actors, for smaller organizations to have more agency and presence in these places, right? And be able to put on the kinds of cultural activities that they want. And I mean, if you look at the kind of policies we have in the city around arts, culture, and public spaces, the policies are there. So, the city needs to, on the one hand, be kept accountable to those policies, and that means, stronger civic organization lobbying for accountability. But also, I know that the city of Cape Town has a desire to do this. And so it is about how are they enabling other actors? So it's not just the well-resourced jazz, the jazz festival, the well-resourced theatres. How do we pull in other actors in order to fill those spaces as well?
It's an important conversation. Thank you for kickstarting it for us. Rike Sitas is a researcher at the African Centre for Cities.